Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. He is God incarnate who is able to heal sickness, the sick and the lame, able to cast out demons, but more importantly than that, is able to forgive sin. And we're in a series that will last the next few weeks called Bridge 24, which is also the emphasis of the next year, as we go outside the walls of this church. And our goal in this series is to be challenged, but in this emphasis with the different events and things that we'll be doing this year, our goal is to bridge the gap. We're going to be challenged with bridging the gap between a lost world and Jesus Christ. And we are going to face a lot of challenges in that. But we are going to see, I believe, God work through this church in an incredible way and through the individuals in this church to see individuals' lives changed for eternity. We see some individuals, what you just saw illustrated in video, we see some individuals bridging the gap. The focus of this story is, of course, on the miracle that Jesus performed, not just the physical miracle, but the spiritual miracle that takes place, in that the man who was paralyzed was forgiven of his sins. But in Mark chapter 2, we see that there were others involved in this. I want to read verses, just read through this story again. And as we see this miracle, you've seen it. Now, as we hear it, I want you to think about and focus on the friends of this paralyzed man. Verse 1, when he entered Capernaum again after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway, and he was speaking the word to them. They came to him bringing a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after digging through it, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was lying. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Right away, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were thinking this, like this within themselves, and said to them, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he told the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he got up, took the mat, and went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Again, I want to take this story, this miracle, from the perspective of the friends who brought this man to Jesus. And from the actions of these friends of the paralytic, we can learn some very important lessons that we're going to need as we move forward into 2024 and as we embark on this journey that we're calling Bridge 24. First, we need to have concern for the lost, plain and simple. That seems like a simple statement, but it's a question that we need to ask. How concerned are we really for those who are lost? I mean, think about this account, this miracle. How concerned must these men and possibly women, it just says four friends, four of them, how concerned must they have been about this friend of theirs in order to get him to Jesus so that Jesus could offer him healing? Look again at verse 1. When he entered Capernaum again after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many people gathered together there that there was no more room, not even in the doorway. And he was speaking the word to them. They came to him bringing a paralytic carried by four of them. So what we see here is Jesus, with pretty amazing speed, is gaining notoriety for his teaching and the miracles that he is performing. He comes to Capernaum, and whenever he would gather, large crowds would follow, and that's what happens in this home. So many people gathered together that the house was filled. The doorway was blocked. And in the East, hospitality is very important, so people didn't even ask if they could come to somebody's home like this. They just came. They knew they would be welcomed. And so the house is full. The doorway is jammed. But this means that some people who really needed Jesus' healing couldn't get to him. And that's the case here. This man who's paralyzed, his four friends are carrying him to Jesus. They get to this home. They finally get to where Jesus is. And they can't get inside because the house is packed. The doorway is jammed. Now, a lot of people are there, but not everybody is there for the right reasons. Not everybody is there. Their motives are not all right. They wanted to see Jesus heal the sick, to cast out demons. Some of them, it was just, hey, there's a possible show that we may get to see here with him performing these miracles. And Jesus knew this in his heart. The people, what we see, wanted another miracle. But what we read in this passage is Jesus wanted to give them the word of God. He was teaching the word to them. All these people crammed in there, he begins to teach the word to them. Now, had they been interested in his message, some of them were, but had all of them been interested in his message, this might have been an encouragement to Jesus, but he knew that many of them were there only to see miracles. He knew that they were not there for the right reasons. They were blind to their own needs, the scribes being some of those individuals. But the time had come for Jesus to demonstrate why he was here. It wasn't just to perform miracles. The miracles in and of themselves are amazing. The miracles were important. He was truly meeting people's physical needs, but the miracles, that was not why he was here. He came to show them the significance, the truth behind the miracles that he was performing. And that's what he's beginning to do here. These individuals, these people in the crowd needed to understand the spiritual lessons behind the physical miracles. So Jesus, as we see in verse 2, preaches the word to them. He begins to teach from the Old Testament scriptures, and he begins to call, just as John the Baptist had begun doing, he begins to call people to repent of their sins, to turn from their sins, and to believe in him. And these, in the midst of all of this that's going on, we see these four friends carrying their friend to meet Jesus. Their motives were pure, as we will find out, as we see in the passage. They were concerned deeply for this friend of theirs who could not walk. And so they bring him to the place where the only hope he has is, and that's in the presence of Jesus. They wanted to see their friend healed. And we, like these friends, we need to have a concern for the lost, a deep concern for those that don't know Jesus Christ, because they too need healing. But that's the first lesson. Do we have a concern for the lost? We also, like these friends, need to have an active faith. It's one thing to be concerned, truly concerned. Are we willing to act on that? It's one thing to say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's one thing even to come, as important as it is, to worship together on Sunday. But do I live my faith out? Is my faith evident in my actions, in my life, as I live it out day by day by day? Look at verse 3. They came to him, again, bringing a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they get to the house is full, right? It's packed. They were not able to get to him. Since they were not able to bring him to Jesus, they just gave up and went home, right? Of course not. That's not how the story goes. Since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after digging through it, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was lying. Seeing their faith in action. Remember, the word faith carries the idea of believing and then acting on that belief. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, these four men were not just our men, women, whatever the case was. These four individuals were not just idle in their faith. They didn't just say the right things. They actually lived their faith. They weren't complacent. They didn't just pray for their friend. And prayer is an important part of what we're going to be doing. It should be an important part of our lives every day. It's going to be vitally important to what we're going to be doing in the next year. But we can't just pray for the people that are lost. We should and we will, but we can't stop there. And these friends didn't just pray for their paralyzed friend. They went beyond that. They displayed characteristics of an active faith. Now let's look at those characteristics that they displayed. First of all, they put feet to their faith. They carried him, literally put feet to their faith. They carried this man, no telling how far. He was helpless on his own in terms of getting around, so they carried him. He couldn't get to Jesus on his own, so they carried him. They were acting on their concern. They were acting on their faith that Jesus could help their friend. This is somebody that they cared deeply for. They also brought their friend to Jesus. They cared for him, I'm sure, had prayed for him. They were bringing him to where he needed help. But most importantly, they were bringing him to the one who could help this man. They were bringing him to Jesus. They believed that Jesus could, was able to, and would meet their friend's need. But because of the crowd, they couldn't get in, right? The house is packed. The doorway is jammed, Scripture tells us. So they go, no telling how far, they get to this point, and many people would give up here. They would be disappointed. There's too many people. But they face this obstacle in front of them. They see that there's a challenge that they have to overcome, but they don't stop there. They overcame obstacles. They would not give up. They were determined. They would not relent. They would not be deterred. They overcame the obstacles. And most of the houses in this day had roofs that were flat. And you could access those roofs from a stairway that would be along the side of the house. And that's most likely what the case was here. Regardless, they got him up to the roof. They overcame this huge obstacle. They got him to the roof of this house. The roof would have most likely been made of a combination of wood beams, cross-laid with branches, and packed with a thick layer of grass, mud, and clay. And because of this, it meant it was easy to walk on, but it also meant that with a little effort, possibly a lot of effort, they could dig through the roof. And maybe it looked like it did in the clip that you saw. Maybe they had to dig a hole through the roof. We don't know, but we do know that they did whatever it took. And the Scripture tells us that they did some digging here. So they got through. They put forth the effort. They got through the roof. And you can imagine inside, I would imagine it was much like what you saw. Things start dropping on the people below. Grass and dirt and pieces of wood maybe. And they're wondering what's going on. But these guys were determined. They would not let something like the obstacle of a packed house or having to carry their friend up on top of the roof or even digging through the roof, they would not let that stop them. They continued in faith because they believed in what they were doing. They removed the roof above those inside the house. And think about it. Picture the scene. As Jesus looks up and he sees this happening, knowing the hearts of men, he looks at them and he sees their faith. Possibly all five of them, including the paralytic, but at least the four who were going to these great lengths to get their friend to Jesus. He sees their faith. He acknowledges, he recognizes their faith. He saw their hearts, yes, but he also saw what they were doing. It's not all about action. You know, we don't earn our way into heaven, but to say I have faith and not live it out, that's a shallow faith. He saw their hearts, yes, but he also saw their faith in what they were doing and that they were in the fact that they were going to these great lengths to get their friend to Jesus. Then they lower this man on his mat until he's on the ground right in front of Jesus, which brings us to another important characteristic. These individuals had to work together to do this. I mean, they to carry a grown man, to carry him up on the roof, to dig the hole out of the roof, to lower him down through the hole to Jesus, they had to work together. They dared to do something different, and they worked together to accomplish that. It took all of them to carry him, all of them to lower him, and Jesus saw their faith, and whether it's all five or just the four, ultimately, the paralytic had faith too because he was saved, but he honored their faith by showing mercy to this paralyzed man. And all because of this, the actions of these individuals, the faith that they had, they got to witness something incredible. They got to witness a complete and total life change. Now think about that. They weren't in it for themselves. But because they were willing to go to these great lengths, because they were willing to do whatever it took to get their friend to the only one who could save him, they got to see a miracle. And I'm not just talking about the physical miracle, amazing in and of itself, but they got to see a complete and total life change in their friend. And we can too, if we are willing to bring people to Christ. If we are willing to bring people to Jesus, we will see miraculous life change as well. I want you to look at verses 5 through 12 again. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And right away, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were thinking like this within themselves and said to them, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take up your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he told the paralytic, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home.' Immediately he got up, took the mat, and went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this before.'" They had seen a miracle. These friends had seen their friend who was paralyzed walk. They had seen more than that, though, his life changed for all of eternity. Jesus calls him son, which is the Greek for child. It is a term of affection. It's showing the concern and the affection that he has for this man, the compassion that he has for this man in this condition. Yes, paralyzed, but also lost, in need of forgiveness. And think about this. They probably came to make no mistake, they were coming to Jesus for healing. I mean, they believed that Jesus could and would heal their friend of his physical ailment. They may not have been expecting, probably weren't expecting, to see his life changed in terms of being forgiven of his sins. But that's what they witnessed. Seeing this man's situation, showing compassion and mercy, Jesus first meets his deepest need, the same need that we all have. And that's forgiveness of sin. He meets his deepest need first, the need for forgiveness. And how could he do this? Well, it was based on who he was, God incarnate, but also on the work that he was about to do. Because of who he was and what he was about to do as God, who was going to pay the price for sins of all mankind, he was able to offer forgiveness of sin. And that's a truth for all of us. Based on who Jesus is and what he has accomplished on the cross, he can meet your greatest need, the need for forgiveness. He alone can meet the greatest need of mankind. We all have something in common. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And we all know people who are lost, who don't know Christ. And we know who can meet their greatest need. That's Jesus. Because of who he is, what he did on the cross, but because of the fact that he has been raised from the dead and is alive today, he offers the same forgiveness to all who turn to him with the same faith that these individuals and that this paralytic had. This man may have needed physical healing, but even more, like every one of us in this room, he needed to experience forgiveness of sins that's made possibly only through Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, his death, his resurrection. But don't look past the friends again, okay? These characteristics that we just talked about, that they showed, these characteristics of an active faith, because what I'm challenging you with today, moving forward, all of us, is that we show these same characteristics for the event that we have coming up, Friend Day, for the next year, as we live our lives each day. I'm challenging myself, all of us, to show these characteristics in our lives. First, we need to put feet to our faith. If we really believe what we say we believe, we need to live it out each day. We need to live our belief in Christ as who he is, the Son of God, who became man, who died on the cross, was raised from the dead, and the only way to the Father, the only way to attain salvation and eternal life. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him, his own words. And if we believe that, we should live accordingly. Put feet to our faith. Are we willing to go to the lost? That's the question we have to answer right now, today, this morning. We can talk about, we've been planning these outreach events. A lot of work is going into this. It's amazing to see what's happening in our church in terms of service and people coming together. But we have to make a decision right now. Are we willing to go to the lost? Because if we're not, the work, we might as well not do it. The events, we might as well not do. Do we have concern for those who don't know Jesus? Just like these men. These individuals who were willing to overcome all these obstacles just to get to their friend to Christ because they knew he was his only hope. Do we have that kind of concern? Are we willing to look at people with the heart of Christ and the concern and the compassion that he has for his children who are lost, who need to be brought back into a relationship with him? We need to put feet to our faith, to serve, to build relationships with those who don't know Jesus. And then we need to be willing to bring those people to Jesus. We can talk to them about Jesus, and we should. We need to be ready to share our faith. That's one way we bring people to Jesus, by sharing our faith. Another way is we bring people to where they'll hear about Jesus. And that's what Bridge 24 is all about. It's what Friend Day is all about. You bring people here, and they will hear a clear and simple presentation of the gospel, and they will have the opportunity to respond to the gospel. We share our faith in a lot of ways, through service, through word, actually sharing our faith. And we also bring people to places where they will hear the gospel preached and shared and illustrated and shown in different ways. The clear and simple message that Jesus is the Savior, and he died for their sins, and that they can have salvation. They can have eternal life if they will turn to him and put their faith and trust in him, just like this man did, just like his friends did. We have to bring people to Christ. Everyone who comes here will hear the message of the gospel if you bring them on Friend Day. We also need to be willing to overcome obstacles when they arise. Guess what? We have already faced some obstacles with these events. We are going to face more. Again, it's been amazing to see the different equipped teams, ministry teams, different individuals, and all of the work and cooperation that's already going on to pull off this event that's coming up on the 21st. We faced a few obstacles. We're going to face more. Are we willing to continue on in perseverance when we face these obstacles? Because whenever we do anything for the Lord, Satan is going to try to disrupt that. We're going to face spiritual warfare as a church. We're going to face it in our personal lives. We're going to face it in our families. Some of you already are. we are going to face obstacles. And there are going to be times where we are prepared or we are tempted to give up. But the question has to be settled now. Will we persevere in faith just like these men did? Just like they did in their willingness to do whatever it took to get their friend to Jesus. Will we do whatever it takes? Will we continue to persevere when we face these obstacles? We cannot give up. We cannot be deterred, because by the power of God, we will overcome those obstacles and we will see people's lives changed for all of eternity. And if we're willing to follow the example of these three individuals, we will see lives changed, we will overcome obstacles, and we will work together with other believers. Again, you know, it's amazing when we think back to Equip 23, the spiritual gift study that we were doing this time last year, and how God was leading us to take that approach to ministry, to equipping, which we should be doing and should have always been doing. And we saw the church buy in a way I've never seen before. And we saw individuals serving in ways that this church has never seen before. Just the magnitude of ministry that was taking place last year. And wonderful ministry took place. And we saw people's lives change then. And we saw the church accomplished great things for the Lord, led by Him. But now, as we move into this year and we see Bridge 24 happening, and we see this event coming, and the challenge that you're going to be given today, and we see how God was using Equip 23 to prepare us for what's going to happen in 2024, it's nothing short of amazing. And I see it happening. And as your pastor, as the staff, as leaders in this church, we are in awe of how God is working in and through you. And we look forward to what God is going to do in and through you. But we have to work together. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus, on what we're focused, what we are here to do to bring people to Christ, and then cooperate and work together with one another, just like these friends did. Different ministry, equip teams, ministry teams, all of these teams working together to accomplish this purpose. And what did Jesus do here? Well, He honored the faith of these individuals, and I believe with all of my heart that He will honor our faith too if we work with the same faith and the same commitment. He met the greatest need, forgiveness of sin, that this man had. And if we bring people to Him, He will meet their greatest need too, the same need, forgiveness of sin. He met the physical need. And I believe with all my heart that if we bring people to Jesus, we're going to see some miracles this year. I don't know what that's going to look like, but we're going to see lives changed, and that's a miracle. If we bring people to Jesus, if we do it in faith, He will honor that faith, and He will draw people to Himself, because that's the beauty of it. We don't have to do the life-changing part. All we have to do is bring people to Jesus. He does the life change. He works the miracle. We're just conduits. We get to be there just as they witnessed the miracle. We get to be here to witness the miracle if we're willing to act in faith, if we're willing to bring people to Christ. Like these men, we need to bring the hurting to Christ. That's their only hope. If you're concerned about the culture, Jesus is the only hope. If you're concerned about people in your life who don't know Jesus, He's their only hope. We have to bring the hurting to Jesus, because He is their only hope. They need to hear His teaching. They need to experience His forgiveness. 2 weeks from today, 2 weeks, I'll say it again, 2 weeks from today is Friend Day. We have 2 weeks to decide who we're going to bring to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ on that day. And today your challenge is pretty simple initially. We are challenging each person in this church to bring four people, to invite four people to that day. Some of you just thought of four names right now, or at least two or three. People that you either know do not know Christ, or you don't know whether or not they know Jesus. Four people we're asking you to invite. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your sermon notes and turn them over to the back. You have four lines there. the four people I'm going to bring. And in just a moment, we're going to have a time of decision, and you're going to have an opportunity to act on these four names. But right now, as I'm talking, you ask the Lord, who is it, God, you want me to invite? And as he brings those names to your mind, don't question it, just write them down. Those four people that you are being led to invite into this room on January the 21st so that they will hear the clear and simple message of the gospel of Jesus. Write those names down. And what I want you to do is I want you to take those names, that sheet of paper, and I want you to pray over those names. Take them with you. Pray for them in the morning as you do your quiet time or whenever you do it. Take them with you wherever you go if you need to. Pray for them whenever the Lord brings it to your attention. But I'm going to ask you to do something else so that we can all pray. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of decision. Now, our time of decision is going to be a little bit unique today, okay? Our invitation. I'm going to ask you to do something. And the first part of our decision, this is the challenge, okay? I'll give another opportunity for other decisions after this first time of decision, okay? For this first part, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. You see these doors up here, right? In just a moment, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to start a time of decision. And these doors, I want you to think of these doors in two ways, okay? One, Jesus said he's the door, right? He represents the only pathway to God. And so I want you to think of these doors as the pathway to God the Father. It's an illustration. It's a visual. That we are committing to bringing these people to Jesus. But also, I want you to think about these doors in another way. These doors represent the places where these people are. A doorway that you're going to have to enter to get to these individuals that the Holy Spirit is leading you to invite here. It could be a place of business where you work, a coworker. It could be a home of a friend or a family member. It could be any number of places, but bringing these people to where Jesus is means we've got to go where they are and invite them. And so in just a moment, as we have this time of decision, I want to encourage you to come from where you are and write the names or initials, just their first name, if you want to write their full name or their initial, on these doors. There are Sharpies on the steps, okay? Just write their name. Of those four people, or as many people as the Lord has brought to your mind at this point. We're going to take a few minutes and do that. But here's why we're doing that. We're going to pray, all of us, you're going to be praying for these people, but we're going to be praying by name or initial over the next 2 weeks during focused times of prayer, but also as we are led to pray outside of those focused times. We're going to be praying for these folks that are going to be in this room in 2 weeks and are going to have an opportunity to respond to the gospel. And so let's go before the Lord in prayer right now. And as we begin the time of invitation, as the music begins to play, you just leave where you are, come down, write those names simply, and then return to your seat. Let's pray. Father, you've brought us to this moment in time, we believe, by your will, your leading, to this day, to this place, to this moment, with this challenge. And I believe that names are swirling through heads right now as we are praying, that you have shown us people that we don't know their eternal future, or we know for certain that they don't know you. And Lord, you're leading us to act on the faith that we say that we have, to step out in faith and to go and invite these individuals. Lord, you may be leading others to make decisions, and Lord, there will be an opportunity in a moment to make those decisions public. But right now, the challenge, which four will we bring? Who are you leading us? Lord, we know that you are God, you are sovereign, and that you are already preparing their hearts for the message that they're going to hear. We believe in faith that we are going to see miracles take place. We are going to see lives changed in our midst. But we also believe that we have a part in that. And the part that we have is obedience. Obedience to introduce them to you. You don't have to use us, but you choose to. And I pray that we would act in faith, in obedience, in determination, with concern and compassion, the same concern and compassion that you had for us when you saved us and set us free of sin. Give us your heart, your compassion, and your mercy. We look forward to seeing your work, to being a part of your work, and the miracles that will take place. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?